Blog Talk Radio.
Another Friday night edition of Let's Talk for Org. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk for Org is on the air. And tonight, y'all, tonight, I'm going to tell you to get you some popcorn, call a friend, call a neighbor, and tell them Let's Talk for Org is on the air. And tonight, we're going to talk about the state of the city. That's right. We're talking about the state of the city. There's a lot going on in Fort Worth, and a lot of it is not so good. And so tonight we thought we would just break some of that down to the listeners, and maybe you're aware, maybe you're not aware. There's a lot going on at City Hall. There's a lot going on at Councilman Nettle's office. There's a lot going on the dais, period. And I think for the most part, most people are feeling it, like some tension in the air. Something is brewing. And at the end of the day, if it's not corrected, where will we go from here? Because it seems like there's so much division in the city, so many people are arguing over the CCPD money, which just opened up as of July. And I think that has partially divided the city. I think also the haves versus the have-nots. is another big thing that seems to be going on in our city. The fact that when you go to city council, you have the developers versus the community. And I think all of that is just taking us to a really bad place. So that's just some of the things we're going to touch on tonight. I'm going to tell you about a conversation. I'm not going to tell you with who that I had this week with one of the leaders, I'll call, in our city. And some of the things that were said were very shocking. And to be honest with you, I have a level of understanding for some of the things that they said, but it was still shocking to hear. So who's going to talk to me tonight is Donnell Ballard, who's on the line. Good evening, Donnell, the president of the founder of United My Justice. Good evening, Donnell. How you doing?
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Y'all may not know, Donnell and I have known each other since Donnell was on TV way back in the, I mean, it had to be 20 years, 20 plus years ago. And Donnell was like such a celebrity for his TV show. And I was compelled one day to call in to find out more about the show and some of the things that that he was doing. And we have been friends ever since. So, Donnell, what, 23 years ago?
Ooh, it seemed like it.
A long time ago, yeah. So
Donnell
has
Joseph wasn't born, so that was Joseph 16 now.
Debbie, I'm going to tell you how long I know it was. I have been in my current location 22 years, and that said, I wasn't here then. So that just gives you
right.
How long ago that was. So it had to be at least 23 years ago when I first.
But you know what, the time goes by so quick.
It does, and it really does. And and so, you know, we've been knowing each other a long time. So when we talk about issues like what we're talking about tonight, we Johnny B grew up here. He was born here. I'm a transplant. And so, Johnny B, you know, from somebody who grew up in Fort Worth, you knew most of the mayors. I think you said with who did you say, Kay Granger, or before Kay Granger?
Oh, it was before Kay Granger. It was Bob Boland. Bob Boland was the first mayor that I met. I even went to his funeral when he passed away, because I've been knowing him for a long, long time. Bob Boland was always a very, very quiet person whenever he seen him in person. But he was a good. I never heard nobody say anything bad about him. He always been a good mayor. Of course, every mayor you got gonna is always gonna be some problems. But Bob Boland was very down to earth, and he was very business minded when he came down to what was going on in the city. He was the first one that I met. Matter of fact, the city manager then was I'm gonna say Bob Terrell. Either Bob Terrell, Terrell was the it was a black brother that was the mayor. I mean, that was the city manager in Fort Worth. I think I got his name right. I think it is Bob Terrell. Bob Terrell was the he was the city manager, and he's still living And Nell Webbers was one of the city council back then. And stuff, but I was very young though at that time. I was maybe about 16, 17 when my stepmama started me going to these different city council. I would watch her go to city council meeting. That's how I learned how to go. Wow. Watch my stepmama go to the city council meeting.
So you then follow Kay Granger, Moncrief. Wow, Bessie Price.
But a lot of people don't know that Mike Moncrief was a state representative before he became a mayor of Fort Worth. He was, because I used to go to, even like I said, when I was 16, 15, 16 years old, I would go to, for some reason, I didn't want to go to the Democrat Party, but I would always go to the Republican Party. And so I would go there, hang out with all these big shots growing up.
Wow. So the politics in Fort Worth has changed a lot.
Oh, yes.
From then to now, what type of changes have you seen in the mayor's office from, like, let's just say, Boland to what we're seeing today?
What I'm seeing, I mean, back then, I think it was so much better. Today, it has gotten worse. Under Bessie Price administration, I think it was, I don't think it was perfect, But I do think it was nice. I think it was, well, I'm going to say nice, but I will say that it wasn't like it is now. It's like now that we got all, and I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not saying this about all young people. I think we got a group of young people that don't really know what they're doing that's in office. And the fact that we had a lot of the older people that's been a mayor, that's been, that know what they're doing, we got a lot of young people in there that don't know what they're doing and think they know what they're doing, but they don't. And they're not good listeners, because in order to be a leader, you got to be a good listener. And if you are a leader and you're not listening to what the people say, you don't even need to be the mayor. You should have stepped down a long time ago. And so this city, this mayor now, and this group of people now, they are taking this city to a whole different direction. And this city, this direction that we're going, is not a good one.
You know what? I think what I see, I agree that they don't listen, and I think they take offense even to anybody who comes to them with a difference of opinion or offering, maybe a suggestion. It's as though it seems like this administration and this council feels like we know what's best for the people. I think I even heard Beck tell Thomas Holland-Kazi that one time, that you think you're smarter than us. So it's almost as though when you see them, they're not approachable, they're not friendly, they're detached, and I've seen other people try to get interviews. I'm not the type of person who, I've never been celebrity driven, and so I'm definitely not somebody who's going to be local politician.
Right.
And so when I see how they handle those that do try to approach them, I see like a certain distance that they're putting between themselves and the people. And I think
it's like when they had this event downtown, they was doing the groundbreaking ceremony. I was reporting for the La Vida News, because I do a lot of stories for them. And anyway, I was doing a report for the La Vida News, and I had asked the mayor if I could do an interview. And so the lady, as I was getting ready to approach the mayor, this lady came up to me. She said, "Oh no, she's not going to do any interviews right now." And then after she said that, I kind of just went on. And then the mayor came towards me, and she goes, "What do you want, Darnell?"
Wow.
I'm like, wow, that was kind of rude for acting like that.
The current mayor?
No, the lady that was her assistant told me that she's not taking interviews right now. But then 30 seconds later, as I was walking out, then the mayor came up to me, and she goes, "What do you want, Darnell?" I said, I just wanted to do a quick interview with you. I don't need a lot. I just need a sound bite from you. And when I said, "Okay, you gotta get it, but make it fast."
But see, you had a different kind of relationship with Bessie Price when you were
talking
about the city.
Yeah, because Bessie Price told the owner of the La Vida News, who I was working with, they told them, Bessie Price told them, anytime Mr. Ballard want an interview, I'm going to give it to him.
What?
Yeah, she never had a problem giving me an interview. I can be anywhere. And if she's out and about and I'm there, all I had to do was just get a sound bite. All I needed was a sound bite. And I got that. So I always was able to get that sound bite. But this administration that we got right now, they don't even really want you even to be, they really don't even want you to be on the website, getting information off the website.
I mean, there's
They're not like this. They're not like, this on the administration. I see a big difference in night and day with this.
They made so many changes so quickly, and I don't think they took into consideration, is this something that the people want? Do we want to run this by the people before we change this or make any revisions? And I think what I see in terms of how things are run, it's though they really don't even want the people to come down to City Hall.
And you're right, they don't encourage the citizens to come down here. They encourage the citizens to come down, but they encourage certain ones. They don't want just know anybody coming down. And so what they do is they choose and pick who they want to come down there, which is not right. It's not, they make it, so what they do is people that do come down there, they make it feel uncomfortable. See, when Betsy Price was the mayor of Fort Worth, she didn't do none of that. There is definitely a big difference. And when she made that statement and say that her administration is going to be run different, she was not lying about that. It has definitely been run different. But most of the mayors, they would encourage people to come down there. But this administration right here, they choose and pick who they want. They don't want this on anybody coming down there. And that's how I feel about them.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is that they tend to try to tell us who our leaders are. First of all, downtown cannot, nor do they have the right to even try to tell you who your leader is. First of all, a leader is chosen by the people and not by the city. And so I noticed that downtown will often say this person or that person is a leader in the community. And what I notice is typically those people are who I call the gatekeepers downtown. And when I say gatekeepers are, those are the people that typically will come out and when they speak before city council, it almost seems like their speeches are pre-written for them and they're attacking other people. So it's often the gatekeepers are divisive. Well, let me finish. They're divisive on social media. So they will spew out hatred and venom toward the people that the council seems to be dissatisfied with. So again, that's another form of being divisive in leadership because gatekeepers should not. First of all, why would you need gatekeepers? so
thank you.
Yeah. So I've seen people on social media attack other people. First of all, and all of their rhetoric seems to be pro downtown and against
real town.
Yeah, right. And so I think to the gatekeepers, first of all, you know what? In reality, gatekeeper is also another word for flunky. And so those are called the downtown flunkies. And so they use is what it is, and they use those people to spew venom and hatred and mean-spiritedness toward other people. And I think that's never good leadership.
No,
it's not good leadership. And I think they think we're blind to it, but it's obvious to anybody who's paying attention. But I would say, and I'm going to put this on record, and I've said it before, they're going to keep up that nonsense until somebody gets hurt down there, if not killed. You cannot do that. That is not right to do. And with all this going on in the world today, you do not pit citizen against citizen. That's not very wise in leadership. And when somebody gets hurt or killed down there after a city council meeting or during a city council meeting, it's going to be on the head of the leadership downtown. That's my belief on that.
And here's another thing we also got to look at, too. Somebody want to have so much power. So you got this. You got this mayor, and I'm just gonna keep it real. The problem with Mandy Parker, she wants power. So she's desperate for this power. And so what she do is she controls all of her city council people. She controls what they say, what they do. And this reason that if you notice, and I'm just gonna keep it real, that's the reason if you notice that Chris Nellis don't say a lot like he used to. He used to say a lot, but now he doesn't say too much. So what they have done, they have shut him down. And they and they not only are they shutting him down, but they shutting all the other city councils down. They can't say what they really feel. That you can tell they really want to say something, but it's almost like they are afraid. I've never seen anything in my life that what I'm seeing now with these city councils, because I have seen city council all of my life since I was about 15, 16 years old. I used to participate in all those city council meetings. That part, the media part. I participated in a commissioner court. All of that back in the day. But the big difference that I see now with this mayor wants to have power over the city council people, and that's not right. These folks should be able to have a right to say whatever they want to say for their district. And this is the reason that a lot of people in District 8 are angry and upset I told Chris Neville, I did not bite my tongue. I said, Chris Neville, the citizens in your district are angry and upset. He said, why? And so I told him, I explained to him, I said, well, you say you was going to do this, you was going to do that. You haven't done anything that you say you was going to do. And he was like, first thing he kept telling me, he said, oh, well, I'm building, I'm going to be working on an entertainment complex. I said, what happened to the bowling alley? Oh, that's coming too. Okay. But you haven't even discussed, you haven't even talked about it, which indicates to me that the mayor is the one that's going to be making all of this decision. And so everything that he said he was going to do, he has not done anything he said he was going to do. He has failed when it came down to the school district because he was supposed to be working on some projects with the school district. I haven't yet to hear him even talk about that no more. After he came back from last year, he was supposed to be talking about that. That never came up in the topic. So I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know what's going on in District 8.
You know what? Last week I alluded to it, but I did not go into some of the things that are going on in District 8. It is troubling right now. That's my former district. Obviously, the councilman, Nettles, had some type of disagreement with one of his staffers, and that staffer has since made a lot of posts on social media and has tagged Leslie Fort Worth in quite a few of them. A lot of them. And there's a lot of allegations being made against Councilman Nettles. I think there's a statement that was made that, or there was even a ticket, appears to be a trespassing ticket has been issued against that staff member. And it appears this person is saying that Councilman Nettles has contacted the child support office on him, I think three times, and I think he's been issued four trespassing tickets and that type of thing. So there's a lot of statements that are being made, but the question is, the rumor mill, let's just say, is saying that there was some type of disagreement, altercation, a verbal altercation at City Hall, and that the councilman and this particular staffer were exchanging or involved in a heated exchange.
Right.
So, we're just curious, like, you know, what the heck is going on, District 8?
Right. Right.
Why is this happening? And so the staffer appears to want to talk to Les Alcoa. If he's out there, he can call in. We are a talk show. But I'm not gonna call out his name. If he wants to call in tonight, we listen. We're just curious if the councilman would like to call in tonight. We're interested because it really is very disturbing, and it's distracting business downtown. Whatever's going on, I am fearful whenever police are involved because people can get killed when you're constantly calling the police on people.
Right.
So, councilman, I would caution you to only call the police if needed, but I would not advise to be calling the police on anybody, knowing the culture of police today and the fact of something that happened in our very community. So just FYI, we are praying for that situation, but it is not advisable to keep calling the police on anyone if that's not necessary. And the young man has said that the councilman has sent the police to his house. Don't know what's going on, but we have been tagged in a lot of those posts, and we're just really
We have.
Yeah. You as well. So.
Yes. All day. To be honest, it's all day today.
So a lot is going on, and I think whatever's going on will eventually, you know, seep out. So, you know, we're listening, but praying for the situation. But it just makes me very nervous in Fort Worth when people start saying they contacted the police or the police came out about trespassing tickets, because that's creating a paper trail. And then if bad were to happen, then there's this paper trail that can kind of I say, okay, we did it because of this or that. And so
right.
is not what we want to happen. So we're
but let me answer this. Have you ever heard of anything happening to a city council like this? I mean, all this craziness that's going on with the Fort Worth City Council. I have seen city council all my life, and I've never seen those city council people act that way. I never seen that type of. I mean, I've seen it in upstate, but that happened here in Fort Worth. I've never seen that type of behavior from city council here in Fort Worth.
I think what we have to be careful of is, you know, a lot of times when you are in a role of leadership, you mm-hmm. have to be careful that you are not putting yourself in a position in which the way that you supervise your staff, the way you
mm-hmm.
run administration, that it's not giving out the wrong type of vibe. Because
yeah.
people don't realize in most cases, people will say if the body is diseased, it's because it started at the head. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm not sure if this is a part of the leadership, because the only thing that's changed is the people that are up there. The city hadn't changed, you know, pretty much the rules didn't change until they got there. And so
right.
all of a sudden we have a new group of people, we have a new leader in the city, and all of a sudden there's all this infighting in the city, there's all this turmoil downtown, there's all this uncertainty in the city. That did not occur under the previous leadership. And so that speaks to the head. Whether or not Maddie Clark is willing to acknowledge that or not, it speaks to leadership. And I've heard her say she's gone to her father, who's a pastor before, and asked for his advice. I suggest you see God this time and ask God for his wisdom, because he said if any man lacks it, to come to him and he'll give it to him. I suggest Maddie go to God, which, you know, because something's off.
Yeah.
And if she does not know that's unfortunate. But there's obviously some things going wrong, and everybody is the whole city is like it's like a lot of tenseness in the city. It's a lot
mm-hmm.
of fighting and everybody's backbiting and everybody's complaining about downtown. And
yes,
so
yes, they are.
If you go to any Fortune 500 company, the buck stops at the CEO. Because
yes,
he has to ultimately take responsibility from everything from the top all the way down to the janitor, because he's
mm-hmm.
the boss. And so Maddie is in so many, you know, basically the only way to call it, she's the CEO of the city. And so she has to take some responsibility for what's going on in our city. And,
yeah, you're
and
right.
I didn't really see her doing that. Unfortunately.
And yeah, you are so right about that. But I don't know. I think what's going on with Maddie Parker, she's selfish. She's stubborn. You can definitely tell she's got some stubborn ways. She's very selfish and very stubborn.
You know, you were down there involved in a protest a couple weeks ago, and certain people said you said things about the mayor.
Oh, my God.
Right. And someone even suggested that you apologize, but I'm gonna go on record and say this before Donnell speaks about this. First of all, if you want to say there's a fight going on, then you have to say who started it. Maddie Clark was wrong when she put Donnell Ballard out of city council that day, because
yeah.
in actuality, Donnell Ballard went down there with legitimate concerns that other people had as well, and that was that the city was not safe. He
mm-hmm.
challenged on the fact that the crime rate was not down like she had said it was. And then
yep.
he said that, you know, I don't think you should be working a part-time job. And then it went to hell from there. And so
yeah.
so then Donnell Ballard is asked to leave the council, and then they tell the marshals to put you out. And so
yeah.
Donnell, all of that, and nobody ever told you they were sorry for how you were treated. And then
went
over 5 minutes and talked about you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. And shout out to Liz. Liz had a talk with Lee Marin, and I think Lee Marin saw the video, and definitely said that it was that it can definitely be a lawsuit. So my thing is this certain person, I ain't going to say this person's name, trying to pressure me, put pressure on me to apologize to the mayor. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to apologize to the mayor because I feel like I didn't do anything wrong. Only thing reason I, and when I went up there, I was already angry and upset. I was already upset with how she treated me. And then when I seen how they did Bob Willoughby and Adrian Smith, it just got me even more mad. And that's why I went up there and did my protest. And I was angry, and I wasn't going to stop because I feel like I was exercising my rights, and you was not going to take that from me. And if I have done that bad, do you think they would have already arrested me? Not one mm-hmm. police officer that was out there arresting me because they feel like I was doing my freedom of speech. Now, one black officer came, and that young black officer asked me if I can get away from there. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not leaving. He said, well, so you need, I said, no. I said, the man already told me as long as I don't block the door, I can go in front of the door as long as I don't block. And that's what I did. I stayed in front of that door. I didn't bother nobody. I did have one white woman that came up to me, and she said, I'm offended by you. I said, offended? So I look at her real crazy. I said, ma'am, I get offended by people like you every day.
Mm.
Wow. I show this hell of that.
You know what I think people don't realize that, you know, there is a such thing as maybe saying something that, you know, you regret saying, but there's also some situations in which someone provoked a situation. You know,
yes.
You can say, so if I come up and I push you and then you knock the crap out of me, I provoke you to do that. And so
mm-hmm.
in this situation, to have the marshals put Donnell out, and I understand Nikki Pugh had to get between you
yes,
and the marshals.
Yes, she did.
It looked like the situation was getting out of hand.
Yes. And to be honest with you, they came like they wanted to, they was going to force me, like they were going to pick me up and take me up out of there. Because if it wasn't for Nikki, they definitely would have manhandled me and roughed me up. Because we're not talking about one or two. We're talking about five or six of them coming out at the same time.
Wow.
Now,
y'all, anybody who knows Donnell knows he's known for protesting. He's known for radio and TV in
mm-hmm.
the city. But ain't nobody never said they've known Donnell to be violent or, you
and,
know, yeah, he doesn't
well,
do the
and think about it. Understand this. I led one of the biggest protests in the city, the George Floyd protest. And everybody was telling me how it was a peaceful protest. I led a peaceful protest. Did you have a lot of idiots that was out there? Yes. Anytime you doing a protest, you're going to always have idiots. But everybody from the media to major media to local leaders know that I was not a violent person. And one guy told me this, Karen, I never forget this. He told me, he said, man, I'm Michael Max, and you the Martin Luther King. I started laughing when he said that.
And you know, and anybody, you know, anybody, if Natty Parker was the chief of staff or Betsy Price, and Betsy Price knew Donnell, then you know Natty Parker knew of Donnell as well. So she knew Donnell was not somebody who was violent and needed to be taken out by the marshals and that type
mm-hmm.
of thing. The person, you know, Donnell asked me what I thought when someone said that he should apologize to the mayor. This was my advice to him. I really feel like if Donnell were to do that, they would try to spin it and make it all about something he did wrong.
Yes.
And never tell you what the mayor did wrong. And so for that reason, Donnell, I wouldn't advise him doing it this late in the game because it seems like, you know, to do that at this particular point, seeing how the media moves now that they would take it and spin it and make it about Donnell was the bad guy. So that's
That was just my advice. And you know what? That's a good advice because I felt the same way. Why am I going to apologize? If I apologize, to me, that sounds like I'm really saying I'm guilty. And I'm not guilty of nothing. So if I apologize to you, then that means I'm apologizing because I feel like I did something wrong, and I did not do anything wrong. We as people have to start standing up for our people, standing up as a community. And this is the problem: we're not standing up as a community. So I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna stop.
She never apologized to Donnell, y'all. By the way, the mayor never said she was wrong for throwing Donnell out. She never apologized, you know, for anything that she did.
She apologized. She apologized in a crazy way. Darnell, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If you want to call that apology, I'm sorry.
Darnell. She talked to him like she thought he was 2 years
like
old.
Like I was a kid. Yeah.
We got that.
Oh, yeah. And I had already knew that she was being very funny acting when she did that.
Wow. And so, with all of the things that are going on, it's just no accountability from the dyads. But I've heard the mayor say before, everybody on this dyad has been under attack. Really, y'all? I mean, so what about all those mean-spirited things that y'all do from the dyad towards the people? But she was saying in this particular council meeting that they had all been under attack. Really? Listen, whenever I'm under attack, the first thing I do is decide, Carrie, did you do anything to provoke it? And so I always look at it like that first. I go inward before I go outward and say, if it's something about me I can change to make this stop, then I'm going to do it. Because I'm not a very confrontational person. I'm not a physical person, but I ain't a scary person. So as long as I'm good and I know I haven't done anybody wrong, then I'm okay. But I don't think the council ever looks at it like that. Well, have we done anything to make, the residents angry, the reason they seem to come down here so angry? I've never seen so many people since I've been watching the city council meetings come down there angry as we do right now. People are angry. I mean, and they're looking to the council to fix the problem, and in most cases, the problem never gets fixed.
No, you're so right. But this happened when you got a group of city councilors down there who don't care about the community, who are just in there for this group of people that's in there. They never was there for your interest. They never was there for you. They was always there. They have always had an agenda why they was there. They was there for their own self. They don't care about the community. And when I brought that up to the mayor, I don't know if you saw that video, but when I brought that up to the mayor before she kicked me out, she put a statement out there to say, we do care about the people. I don't know what he's talking about. No, you don't care about the people. For you to even repeat that, I mean, for you to even say that, go behind me and say, he don't know what he's talking about. We do care about the people. Your actions speak louder than words. Hello. It's not about what you say. It's what you do. People got to start understanding. It's what you do. Your action is speak louder than words. Your action is speaking that you don't give a damn about this community. You don't. And it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. It's the way you treat the people, the way you act towards the people. We never had that problem. I'm not sitting here saying that, because I continue to talk about Betsy Price. I never said that she was perfect, but I never saw her do all this craziness that's going on now. The administration was a whole lot better because Betsy Price, who was the leader, knew how to run the city. Was she perfect? No. I don't think no mayor, I don't think no president, mayor, or city council ever going to be perfect. But you got to admit when you are wrong. This administration is not going to ever admit when they are wrong. If you listen to Chris Nelly, admit that you're wrong. If you listen to Gina Bibbs, admit that you're wrong. I'm calling you. I don't know. I'm going to call your name out because I think it's ridiculous. And this is not, my comment is not the comment of Let's Talk Radio. This is my personal comment. I want to make sure we put that out there.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, I talked to Chris Marino this week, and he was like, you know, Carrie, seeing that Bob and Adrian aren't down at the city council anymore, you're the number one enemy of the city. And that caused me to pause. And I said, now, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I've never been to jail. I don't have criminal activity going on at my home. You know, I don't bother anybody. I'm not going down to city council meetings and anyway, because I don't do that. I mean, the whole circus type environment or atmosphere down there is just not conducive to people.
It's not. It's not.
To people. So
if you notice, I don't even hardly go down there. I used to participate in a city council meeting every week with Betsy Price. But I don't even go down there. I don't feel comfortable going down there. And the type of people that's down there now, it's not the same. I mean, you got idiots that's down there, and you. I mean, they choose. The bottom line, they choose and pick who they want to deal with.
I agree, and I think to me, going down there is equivalent of asking myself to like raise my blood pressure. Because I see the childishness, I see the pettiness, I see them picking at people and making fun of people. You know, even the statement that Gina Bivens made about reading is fundamental.
Yes,
I thought that was petty, but I will lend this to that comment. Y'all, she's exactly right though. Reading is fundamental, and I suggest every member on that dais read them damn books that they get every week. I suggest all y'all do like Kelly Ellen Gray used to say and read that book cover to cover so y'all know what the hell y'all voting on down
there.
Thank you. Gina, I think you're right. Reading is fundamental, and tell that to all y'all. All your colleagues down there that y'all absolutely need to read them books before y'all start off on community centers like Chris Nettles had y'all do, and y'all think y'all signing off on a name change, and y'all signing off on a multi-million-dollar contract. So
yeah,
I agree. Yeah, so all those people that say they disagree with what Gina said, I absolutely agree. And take y'all's own advice and read your books that you get, I think, every Thursday, so that you'll know what you're voting on when you get on the floor. And so I think when I pay attention to this council, they always take petty shots at people.
Yes, they do.
Petty shots. And, you know, like, you know, the breaking the quorum and all this other stuff. Y'all, people are watching. And one thing I live by is that you live your obituary every day. Your legacy is all you're going to have when they put you 6 feet in the ground. What did you do while you were here? And I think a lot of the people on the dais really don't think about what legacy will be left, because you know those seats are not permanent. So what legacy do you leave when you leave those seats? And I think right now, the way a lot of them are moving on the dais, the legacy will not be pretty. And I wouldn't want to go down as being the worst council person for a certain district or the worst mayor in the history of Fort Worth. I don't think those are titles that I would want to have on my name.
Mm-mm.
That's just my
opinion. Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so I just see some people who ain't paying attention. This ain't a gig that you get to retire from. Like, more than likely, a lot of y'all going to have to get up out those seats based on your actions.
Every last one of them.
I'm just saying. And the people are not going to continue to allow y'all to raise taxes, not do your job, you know, not answer phone calls. I mean, I don't think you can call one person on that council and get them on the phone. If you call
offices,
I don't think you can get anybody on the phone. You know, nobody at City Hall but the city secretary pretty much answers the phone. Everybody else, you go to the 392-1234, and they take a message. Your message will probably, more than likely, never be returned.
Make a prime example. Nikki had called Chris Nellis. Chris Nellis told Nikki to call and to make the special department for United My Justice. When she calls, she never got a call back. She never got a call back. So they don't believe in answering their phone. Now, I will say that when Chris Nella did have Jasmine, he would at least call you back and let you know something. You don't even get that no more since he left.
And Sally Masson, I'm just going to call you out, Sally. Hope you're listening. She, in my opinion, is not somebody you can trust.
I believe it.
I sent an email to Chris Nettle's office about a police officer, my NPO, who is a real jerk, and some of the things that he had done. And Sally Masson took and CC'd the cop. And when yeah, she did. She CC'd him on the email. And I go, why would you CC the police officer, of a complaint that I'm making about the officer? And she began to tell me how, this isn't something she typically do. Well, who told you to do it?
Oh, wow.
First of all, the email was not for you to make. Well, the email was not for you to make the decision. The email was for the councilman to make the decision. So why then was Sally email the cop that I was complaining about? So Chris Nettle's office clearly had some problems. That's just what that is. And the entire time he was my council person, I never got a call back from Chris Nettle's about a damn thing. It is what it is. And so he never resolved not one problem, even though he stood on the dais the night he was sworn in. He was a great revolutionary or the great jump.
Yes, I was there that night. You're right.
He was a jump. And he basically said, you can call me.
Yeah, you're right.
I was in his district.
He so did. And you know what the sad part about it is? I don't know what happened, but whatever happened, they completely shut him down, because I really thought that he was going to be what he said he was going to be. I thought he was going to do what he said he was going to do. I really starting to believe in him. I said, man, he is making some noise. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, boom, it seemed like after he went to that district attorney's office, boom, it kind of shut him down. I don't know what the mayor did, but it shut him down. Hmm. And before you know it, now he don't say nothing now. But I really thought, because he did say on the night that he was elected and the night that he was getting sworn in, he did say he's gonna be the city council for all people. He said it doesn't matter what district you're in. If you got a problem, you call me. And I really thought he was going to do what he said he was gonna do. I've never been so disappointed in my life until now.
Wow. Well, let's just say he didn't do it. And I am for 2 years, and they never resolved one problem that I put in front of them, not one. And so,
I believe it.
If I'm lying on you, call in and call me a liar, but I ain't lying on you. So, that's the truth. And Sally Masson, like I said, I'm glad I'm no longer in that district, because that just was very troubling when she sent the email to the officer. So that just said to me, you can't even trust this officer.
Right.
You couldn't even trust him. And so that, it's just so many issues up there on that dais right now. Louderdorf, and him heckling and telling people, he gonna harass them on their job, they harass
him. Yes.
You talk about Alan Blaylock telling, a resident, who's on the floor that, I mean, y'all, that speaks to leadership. And if you pay attention, not one time do you see the mayor or the city manager or the city attorney correct them on the dais. Somebody ought to be the wise one and say, hey, don't do that. Not okay.
Right.
But nobody ever does that, which that speaks again to leadership. And so when we say that the city, the state of the city right now is just, it's in chaos. It's literally on fire. And there's somebody hurt down there with the way they're pitting citizens against each other. The young man, and I won't call his name, who was out in the lobby screaming and yelling on two different occasions, he was not cited and ban him from City Hall, but they banned the other two men. How unfair is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
again, you're right.
They have biases. Okay, so I don't know if you want to call that person a gatekeeper. I don't know. But that person, you know, something ain't right. I mean, why can he be allowed to disturb a council meeting, disrupt the council meeting to the point that they have to shut the door? But he's not banned, but other people are banned.
Yeah.
You see? And so a lot of this ain't making sense, but when you bring it to their attention, they never correct it. They never responsibility or accountability for the things that we're seeing down there. And so you just, like, do they expect the city to be happy with what we're seeing? Do they think that, you know, everybody should be okay with the way things are being run down there? I don't think so. You know, it's not going to happen. And this week, y'all, I invited someone to come on the show. And I spent a little over an hour, I think it was really close to an hour and a half, talking to that person on the phone and in what I'm going to call a pre-interview. And, y'all, I was surprised by some of the things that they said. They're considered a leader here in the community. And they told me that they feared for their safety after dark in Fort Worth. And
wow.
This is a grown black man who says that, you know, the way the Fort Worth PD moves, that they fear for their own safety and that they get about when it's dark because of that. You know, we talked about, you know, several things about, you know, how they too felt like the city council didn't even want people to come down there anymore. You know, that they were trying to do everything they could to discourage, you know, people from speaking or coming down there to speak. We talked about the fact that when there's a police shooting, they have a select group of preachers that they will call in to view the video. And when the situation is clear that the officer was justified, the police department is very quick to release those videos. However, when it's kind of cloudy, whether or not everything was copacetic, then they're slower to call them in to see the video. And then the video is edited and narrated. So, y'all, it's so much that ain't making sense. But everybody downtown, they just try to make you believe that what you're seeing ain't what you're seeing. And so, yeah, you know how you trick little kids and little kids are telling you something and you say, oh, that's not it. That's
they
the
want
way
you to believe what they want you to believe.
That's it. And so. You know, that person also discussed with me that there's other people that have told them of harassment from the Fort Worth Police Department. Y'all have heard my story. You follow this show at all. You know I've talked about I've been harassed by them since 2011. This person also talked about other people that said that they had been harassed. And, y'all, some of that harassment even took place today. This morning, between like 8:30 and about 8:45, I posted two things for sale on Marketplace. And what most of y'all don't know is I know how Marketplace moves very well because I sold lots of things on there. That said, immediately after I made the post, the dings began to go off. And whenever the dings begin to go off immediately, that means either the item is hard to find or the item is underpriced. And so initially, when the first five or so dings came in, I thought I must be underpricing these items. But I priced them to sale. So I was okay with the first four or five dings because I'm thinking, okay, I will get it sold quickly. And then the dings got up to like 20 or so dings. And this is like within a short period of time, y'all. This is within like 15 minutes or less. And that's when I knew something was wrong. So most of them were asking me for my phone number. And then because they were coming in so fast, I decided to ask them instead to give me their phone number so then I could go in and go by the person who had contacted me first. Well, that said, I began to look at the profile of the people that were responding, and I realized they were fake pages.
Oh, wow.
Who would know at 8:45 in the morning that Carrie Hines had posted those items on Marketplace? So I immediately began to screenshot the people who had responded, and I posted it on Facebook that, you know, first of all, the Memphis Police Department was sued successfully by several activists in Memphis for harassing them on Facebook. So clearly I could sue these jokers if I wanted to, because they have no right to be in my inbox at any time. If I don't call for you, that means I don't need them. And
right.
So wouldn't you be in my inbox pretending to be a buyer? That's harassment.
Wow.
Harassment. And so were y'all going to show up at my door and pretend to be buyers, or pretend to be buyers and never show up? Why would y'all do that? And y'all, the ding stopped after I made the post. Now, remember, I've got 20-25 in a row, but immediately after I make the post, they stop. And most of the accounts were fake or are fake. All of them pretty much were fake. And some of them were even taken down after I made the post. Again, this police department ain't understaffed. They underwork. Because if you got time to be on Facebook and following me and getting in my inbox, you get, not only did they get, they sent messages, y'all. So this is, again, harassment, and it's illegal. You cannot harass somebody and get in their inbox under the guise of buying something when it's harassment.
Yeah.
This is bullshit that Maddie Parker co-signs and says she's got the best police department in the country. Well, sister girl, I beg to differ with you. I beg to differ with you. Memphis right now has the feds in there because the police got rogue and thought they could do whatever they wanted to do. The Department of Justice is currently in Memphis, Tennessee right now for this same kind of nonsense of the police department repeatedly thinking they were above the law. Well, I am seriously, and I believe I will next week consult an attorney about what they did today, because this is a clear example of exactly what they were doing to those protesters in Memphis. Kedron Franklin protesters successfully sued them. Now, y'all, they have been told many times about the harassment. Has Maddie Parker, Gina Bivens, Chris Nettles, or any of those people on the diet done a darn thing? No.
No.
At all. Have not. Nada. So it just speaks volumes to how far off the rail things are getting. And so when I'm listening to this grown black man tell me how he's scared of the police, and I'm thinking about what Marino said, and I'm thinking, whoa, you know, like, should I be scared? But I will say to them on record, I'm covered. And whatever y'all do against me, I'm covered under the blood. And I say to you, whatever you're sending out, it's going to come back double. Because you are a child of God and you are covered by the blood of Jesus, woe unto the person that comes against you. Because if God be for you, he's more than the world.
Be against you. Yeah, you're right.
So when you're seeing all this stuff going on downtown, it may be the wrath of God is falling on downtown for all the nonsense and all the evil things that they're doing and have done to people and think that they've gotten away. There's no such thing as getting away. The Bible says, man, so he going to reap again. That's period.
Yeah.
So you can do it under the guise of y'all's job, or you can do it to be on a personal level to hurt people, but that's coming back.
And it's coming back double.
Using the police department against people is not supposed to happen. That's illegal.
Yeah.
Anybody you don't like, you know, you send out your undercovers to harass them and do things, that is coming back again.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming back again. So, just having had that conversation, and then I thought about after Tatiana Jefferson died, Bishop Rodney McIntosh went before the city council and told them with tears in his eyes how scared he was of the city. And how he had been in gangs and he had been to prison, I think, a couple of times, and how even having been in that lifestyle, he still hadn't seen fear like the fear that was instilled in him by the Fort Worth Police Department. Now, how is that possible? Officers are supposed to be law-abiding. You know what I'm saying? That they're supposed to be law-abiding. They're supposed to be protecting and serving. But yet we got police department is everything but that. They're moving like a KKK gang, and you don't think this city's gonna be in chaos? You got NPOs, you got NPOs who are letting drug dealers sell drugs on the block. You got NPOs that turn their head and know that the folks have got trap houses and dope houses, and that they're drug dealers. But the city acts like everything's okay in our city. No, it's not. No, it's not. And so I'm going to go to the phone line. I see Chris Marino's hand is up. Good evening, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Carrie. How you doing? Yeah, I was listening to you, and I'm not over-exercising my imagination in this thing and everything, but, you know, what you're talking about, that kind of scenario with the inbox and the marketplace, I mean, the way it works these days, and especially we've had, because we don't have the transparency and because we don't have the accountability from the Fort Worth Police Department and even the whole city government and even the county and the DA, but let me get to my point. So you got that scenario, okay? And you remember there was a little blip on the radar about a police officer in the South Division that got – They had a big old scandal with the whole backpack full of dope in his locker room, you know, and nothing ever came of that. It was just washed under the Fort Worth POA, got Terry Daffron on it, and hey, it's okay, you know, manslaughter, not murder. But let's just say, I mean, when you take this whole big picture of things, and like I said, I'm not taking away that there's good cops out there. There's good cops. Mm-hmm. There's cops that would, you know, but, you know, it's the institutional culture. And what I'm saying is, say this is true. You know, I believe you. You know, I believe it's very plausible that they're on you, you know, like stink. But,
oh, yeah.
And they also have advocates that they bring in that are civilians that might not, you know, they have cheerleaders, you know. So let's just say for the fact that they sent somebody in there to purchase that a buyer, you know, so they're going to come and they're going to buy that laptop bag from you. Well, if you also remember, let's just play this scenario. If you also remember, to save their face, they tried to come up with this this farce about Tatiana Jefferson having dope in her pocket and dope in her bloodstream and all of that, you know. That was a little buzz during the trial that they didn't. Well, let's say they take that backpack, they go out to their car, and they plant dope in there, and then they say, okay, come on. And then they call the police on you, and then the police come. And this is a civilian agent, you know, like a crazy little thing. So they want to do you in. They say they just came to your your place and met you and bought this thing. And when they opened it up, they found dope in there, you know, and that's going to be on you, you know.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to put that in the atmosphere, first of all. And I don't want you to either. And second of all, I'm going to go on record to say, I'm gonna pray for them that they don't do that, because I don't sell dope. I don't know nobody who sells dope connected to me anyway. So if Fort Worth police is that dirty, then we need a whole new police department starting from the down. So I'm going to hope that Neil Noakes is a better police chief than that, and that he has a better police department than that, because I know a lot of people, and not bragging, but I know a lot of people, and that would not be a wise thing to do. I'm just going to say that.
No,
yeah,
and I'm not putting it in the atmosphere, but I'm just speaking to the speaking to the macabre way. Like I said, we've seen it happen. It happens. It's happening. You know, we had, I mean, that's, if you really get into that trial and what was taking place and everything, that's what they were planning to do. The Fort Worth PD set up a narrative and, she was a dope dealer or she had dope in her pocket. We rolled her body over and there was crack in her pocket or something. And you happen to have to know that, I don't know, I'm not going to get into the details, but there's that's spooky. That's some spooky, and it wasn't even necessary. It don't matter if she did this, that, whatever. I mean, if that was irrelevant and out of the context of the case, but they were sitting there. That's how desperate they were to guard their crooked-ass nasty cops, you know.
Well, you know what? Like somebody posted online, if she was high as a kite and flying in the wind, she still is not supposed to be dead today. So, I don't believe she had any drugs in her waistband. I don't believe that. But like somebody said, even if she was high as a kite and flying in the wind, she still ain't supposed to be dead because she was in her own house, minding her own business, playing with her nephew. And so anything that happened after that, that took her life was not supposed to happen. That's okay. Let me put it out there. I don't live in fear because I think fear is dangerous. I think, first of all, God does not give us the spirit of fear, so I don't operate like that. I think people don't realize when God has his hand on your life, woe unto the person that tries to take it. So I think that's what a lot of people feel forget, that God is greater than any enemy that I could ever have. And this harassment has been going on since 2011, and trust me, it's coming to an end. And Fort Worth PD is on the radar of the Department of Justice and the feds. So if I were them, I would be very careful about what they do here on out, because just like they are in Memphis, so it may be in Fort Worth. So, again, I don't live in that kind of fear. Not going to do it because I think fear will take you out of here quicker than any disease or any bullet. If you are someone who is just letting yourself be stuck in that mold where you just are always wondering about what's going to happen next, I don't do that. Nope. And I don't pretend to be bad because I'm not that person. But I do have a faith in God that he has protected me all these years, and I believe he will continue to protect me. And I have seen people who have come against me that are 6 feet under right now. So I'll just say that they're, and I didn't kill them. I didn't kill them. God took care of them. And so I don't worry about my enemies. I don't. I pray for my enemies because I know they know not what they do. And they don't know who they are coming up against. And so I'll just leave that right there. I don't live in that kind of fear. Yeah, I don't. Dunnaby, you agree? You can't live in that kind of fear.
Oh, no, yeah. No. I mean, I wouldn't have been no true leader if I would have been in fear like that. Yeah. And believe me, I dealt with police all kinds of issues. And if I would have been in fear, I would have gave up a long time ago.
Because, see, fear gets, people don't realize, fear gets inside your head. And fear then begins to tell you all these things that may never happen are going to happen right away. And so you're paralyzed with fear.
But I guess I'm different because, for me, fear makes me stronger. Fear makes me want to fight harder. So with me, I was fear in the past, but it makes me want to fight. It makes me want to be stronger. So I look at fear in a totally different way the rest of these leaders look at fear. Is that making any sense?
I think that you're right. I think a degree of fear is good. But I think when you let fear paralyze you, it's not good. I mean, y'all,
No, that's not.
No. Donnie B can tell you, I've told him stories over the years of the harassment that I have endured by Fort Worth PD. Y'all listen, whatever they could do, they have done. And the city is aware of it. And you know what, y'all? The city pretended that they couldn't believe that was happening. And my NPO with his low-down ignorant ass has even put on police reports that I was crazy. Well, guess what? There must be a whole bunch of crazy people out here because we all saying the same thing. It's the same MO, the same harassment that they have dived out to me. I have found others that are seeing the exact same thing. So I would say to the city of Fort Worth, we all can't be crazy. We all can't be crazy. But how dare how dare y'all let officers falsify police reports and lie on people and document that? Yes, that's great for a lawsuit, y'all. So keep letting y'all's officers run rogue and nobody grab them by the helm and say, y'all going to get the city sued. First of all, does anybody care that the city can be sued for some of the stuff they're letting low-ranking officers do? I wish the hell I would have an employee that was entry-level who was causing me a lawsuit. I would get rid of the entry-level employee before I let them get me sued. And so I don't even understand the mentality of the city that they'll let a person who's out there just a regular uniform officer commit all kind of crimes and they keep them on the payroll. That makes no sense. So
it makes no sense.
No, the taxpayer has to pick up the bill for stupid stuff they're allowing officers to do.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Adrian wants to chime in. Good evening, Adrian. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was listening. I think I got Malik on the line. I don't know if he pushed one or I pushed one.
Oh, that was me, brother. Go ahead. No, we were just enjoying the what y'all saying. You know, fear and God don't belong in the same place. You know, I don't get vexed by that department because I know how they mind. You know, I think where they made a mistake is they letting that determine public policy. That those type of minded people determine public policy. And they all way out of pocket with that. They all way out of pocket. I encourage the fight. You know, they didn't came out of our group, tried to anyway, unsuccessfully, because of the way we move. Like I tell people, we move different. They don't like us because we're not afraid of them. And I agree with which I told you that before, Sister Carrie. We got to understand certain words that we say on here or trigger words, and they'll jump on you, sis. And that's just the name of the game. It's just like if we put up certain things that we do on Facebook and stream it out, probably within the 24 hours, they're going to take it down. Anything that's relevant, they're going to knock it out the box, especially if we're doing something that's healthy to help our people. And so that's how they move. Like I said, we are tactically trained unit, and you'll get off your mark of helping people, our people, especially our people, if you get too consumed with that department, because you know them dudes on steroids, a lot of them full of that drink. They're like, bro, see, one of them got caught doing drugs because. Who walks around being angry all the time? Something wrong with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are in conflict of doing things that's wrong here, God will baffle your mind. And I've told you that all the time. Only thing I tell you, sis, sometimes just sit back and watch it unfold. And Comrade Doug, you know, I didn't tell you that once before. Man, you know, we talked about Canada for years. And I told Doug, no, don't back up. You keep on pushing.
Yeah.
And for me,
and that's
Carrie,
what I've been doing.
And Donnie, you know what I'm saying? We on the other side of 50, so we ain't got time. We too late in the game to be scary. You know what I'm saying? It just don't. Fear just don't. It don't, for me, for my conviction, fear, it just don't. That's not my friend. I'm sorry. Because I know with fear, because they use fear to control our. They use that fear tactic for so long with our ancestors and our parents. Somewhere you got to break the cycle.
Yeah. Like, I think what I see, people don't realize the fear that I lived in when they first started harassing me caused me to leave my house for 7 years. I mean, while I was paying a house note here and having living expenses somewhere else, I mean, I'm literally still having my homestead here and having to stay somewhere else because of fear. And y'all, they still harass me. The other places I went, they had the police department harass me there too. And so despite me reaching out to the leadership here saying, will you make these jokers stop? They never did. So when I get ready to sue y'all, and it's coming, y'all are not going to believe the things that will be named in that lawsuit. But one thing I do know is they had an opportunity to fix it, and they did not. One of the high-ranking members of the Fort Worth Police Department put on one of his on a memo. I don't know if this is an NPO issue. So that tells me on some level, they know that sometimes their police officers can be the problem. They fail to investigate, or if they did, they didn't resolve it. And so all of that is going to come into play. The fact that this particular police department is just rogue. I mean, they are, I've never seen a police department that they just let them do whatever they want to do. I mean, to the people. So you harass the very people that's paying your salary. That's the craziest stuff I've ever seen in my life. But that's exactly what's going on. But, y'all, we got to catch another call. 314-677. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hello, Carrie. How you doing?
Fine, Pianki. How are you?
You know, why don't you have your public servants to carry their own liability insurance?
Ooh.
They should carry their own liability insurance. And just like your car insurance, if you have too many claims, they won't insure you no more.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they should not be putting entries in their personnel file. That's dumb. No way in the world should
they
put
entries
in their personnel file.
They should put what in the personnel file?
They should not put any entries, add any notations or anything in their own personnel file.
Why not?
And also, any candidate, applicant, should be able to prove that they have passed a constitutionality test as it applies to the founding documents of this country. Those can be required. How in the heck they swear to uphold something they don't know anything about?
That's true.
So if they can't show that they have went to a class, a course, and passed it with an approval grade, don't hire them. That's all I got to say, and I continue to listen.
Thank you, Pianki, for chiming in tonight. Y'all, you know what? And I'm going to put it on the record because I didn't say it a lot tonight. I ain't suicidal, and I'll have no intentions of harming myself. So if I end up gone like Thomas Rowland Kazi did a year ago yesterday, ask questions. Ask a whole lot of questions. Seriously. Ask a whole lot of questions because, Thomas died a year ago yesterday, and there's still a lot of mystery surrounding his death. And so if suddenly you hear that something very strange happened to Carrie, she just dropped dead. Or she does some very freak accident, ask questions. That's all I'm saying. But I think, you know, my theme song has been my theme song for about 2 years now. And I really do believe the words of that song. I do believe a change is coming. I think that the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, does not allow anything to go too far to the left or too far to the right without a correcting. And I think this city has gone way too far to the left. And I think God always has a shakeup that comes to correct things. And a shakeup is never pretty. It never is. And so do I expect something bad to go down in this city pretty soon? I do. I just think it's so much evil going on right now. I mean, it's literally like the city is being run by reprobates. And for anybody who's not familiar with the term reprobate is basically when you believe what's wrong is right and you believe what's right is wrong. So literally your spirit is so twisted that you'll fight tooth and nail and be on the wrong side of the argument. But that's how a reprobate moves. And so some of the decisions and things that are going on downtown, Donnell, they just seem wrong on every level. Yet these people are acting like what they're doing is right. And I'm just surprised sometimes at that.
So true. You're right.
And so when you are when you're looking at these kind of times, how did we end up with a council with so many people who would just rubber stamp anything? There's no situation down there where you got anybody. There's no John Wiley Crisis or Diane Rex. Or what was the other guy's name that used to be with Diane Rex, Ellen Dallas all the time? I forgot his name. The guy that used to be with her all the time. But y'all, they would fight.
Carol Wayne.
No, you're talking about Dwayne Carraway. He was Mayor Pro Tem, but it was Diane Ragsdale, and it was Al Lipscomb, and John Wiley Price. And y'all, they were fighters. I mean, back in the day, they were not afraid to stand up and say, no, I don't agree with this. And remember Mayor Laura Miller, who was in Dallas? She was a tyrant. But they was giving Mayor Miller hell. They were like, but there's nobody. We don't have anybody right now on the dais that stands up for the people. You don't ever get one person on the dais, even the ones that look like us, to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let that happen to the people. We stand up with the people. The people don't want that. You don't ever hear that. And that's scary.
That ain't Fort Worth.
And Fort Worth is always saying, we don't want to be like Dallas. Well, we need a little Dallas over here, y'all. We really do.
Well, they're not. Well, it's one thing you can say. They're not lying about that. But we definitely don't want to be like Dallas. And I mean, right now, we definitely showing that we are definitely different from Dallas. The type of city council people we got now, I don't know what's going on.
It almost seems like yes people. Like they got people who would just go along to get along. And that, I mean, I'm sure on some level, in order to get business done downtown, you have to give a little, but you ain't supposed to give all the time. You're not supposed to give all the time. Sometimes you're supposed to be fighting for the people, what's best for the people, what's best for the community, what do the people want. You never hear anybody downtown talking like that. The community said, let me take that back. The only time we saw them fighting hard, y'all, remember redistricting? Well, when it was redistricting,
that.
Oh, come on. You saw Elizabeth Bick with tears in her eyes. She crying, talking about, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose that. Jared was over there saying, Wedgwood don't want this. Wedgwood don't, But when it comes to issues that don't affect their pockets or don't affect them possibly not being reelected, you don't hear from them. And, y'all, that's trouble. I'm sorry. It's just troubling on every level. And so, When we chose the topic for tonight, the state of the city is chaos. The state of the city is divided. It's you have a city of has versus have not. You got you know, again, like I said, developers against the community. You know, you got the council against the speakers. Yo, like, how does that happen? You know what I'm saying? Because, and I said this on Donald Ballard's show the other day, and I'll say it here. The Bible says only a fool makes an enemy of his neighbor. So that on some level, you got to be wise, you know, in the way that you're doing things, because it's just not. And I'm not calling the mayor a fool. I'm just saying that's what scripture says. But I see everybody is making everybody an enemy. That's not wise for leadership. You don't want everybody against each other. That's not real leadership. But that's what we're seeing downtown, and you constantly see division, and you know, you got, you know, developers coming in, and the people are clearly saying, no, we don't want that. No, you know, that doesn't fit our neighborhood. You know, and you got the whole community coming out saying, please don't do that. We don't want that. But what do they plow past the people and vote anyway to make it happen? That's not leadership. Because you're not living in those communities. Rarely do we hear about any development going into North Ridgeley, where the mayor lives at. Why don't we hear about some of these developers putting things like that, like a veterans facility over in North Ridgeley, or a facility for refugees over in the mayor's community? We don't hear that. But we hear about it in other communities, and then we hear the mayor telling people that's what they want. That's a great thing, and how she wouldn't mind having it in her community. But, Madam Mayor, we don't see it going in your community at all. And people are paying attention. And on so many levels, y'all, it's almost exhausting talking about downtown, because it almost feels like, you know, it's like a long, but it's the truth. It's like, when did we get a chance to say the council did something good for the people? We heard that in a long time. We just see people going down there angry, talking about how you took a library out of their neighborhood, or how you didn't include them in meetings, or how you, you know, put something in their neighborhood without getting their consent or their approval. You know, we keep hearing about those kind of stories, but rarely do we hear about all the council went to the people and asked the people what they thought and what they wanted. We don't see that, Donnell. We don't.
No, we don't.
Even these budget meetings, y'all, I don't think much is coming out of those budget meetings. I haven't attended them, but, you know, once I found out they can pick you up and take you out of a budget meeting for asking a question, I say, what's the purpose of going? Remember, they did somebody like that at one of the District 5's meetings. They literally asked the question, and the next thing they know, they were grabbed by both arms, lifted up off their feet, and drug out of the meeting. And so it doesn't feel I think, Danielle, you said it earlier, they have who they want to attend. And everybody wants to be welcome.
They choose and pick.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
Because
so,
it used to be a long time ago, they were invite the public to come out to those meetings. And I do agree with Bob Willoughby on one thing when he was saying that they should have kiosks. They should have kiosks all over the city to let people know when there's going to be a meeting. They need to be able to advertise it, you know, all over the place, and let people know when these budget meetings going to come, when these certain meetings going to come. But this administration we got right now, they're not doing that.
But you know what, JB, when they don't even tell you when it's election day, do you really think they're going to tell you when there's going to be a budget meeting or a city council meeting?
No. Nope.
I mean, even the city council meeting seems like they move the schedule around. Looks like whenever the people are up in arms about something and angry, have you noticed that
all of a sudden we don't have a council meeting? Yeah. I've noticed that.
And so someone just sent me a message that they said, bring back the chief. I think they're talking about Chief Fitzgerald. And so
yes, bring him back.
Yeah, bring back the chief. Said, bring back the chief back. The city of Fort Worth is recommending another $400,000 to fight former chief of police Joel Fitzgerald. The taxpayers of Fort Worth are paying for a no-win case for the city at the cost of $1.5 million. That's crazy.
Whoa.
That's crazy. Oh, my God.
That is.
He said the first $500,000 2 years ago. Last year, they passed an additional $250,000. That's a total of $750,000. Now the city council is voting on another $400,000. That would be $1,500,000 in just legal fees. And then he said, give Chief Joel Fitzgerald his job back and pay him for his pain and suffering from the illegal termination and humiliation. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Wow.
The out-of-control youth gun violence is not going to end until you do the right thing by Dr. Joel Fitzgerald and his family. Fort Worth, God will not be mocked. Galatians 6 and 7. That's what Kia Payton just sent me. Y'all, that's crazy.
$1.5 million?
Whoa, what are we doing? That's crazy.
That is.
That's crazy.
Shout out to Kia Payton. Yeah.
Whoa, right. Shout out to Kia Payton. And then, as Malik just sent me the 0.675 tax hike they're trying to do. I think it's 0.675 tax per 100 on property taxes. Y'all, they're out of control. And this was after the governor told them no new taxes. They have decided to plow forward and give us some new taxes. I mean, y'all, this council just ain't listening. I mean, they just ain't listening.
Nope.
Or they don't care, or I don't know now.
I think it's both. I think they're not listening, and I think they don't care. I think it's both.
$1.5 million. That's crazy. And then hike the property taxes. That's crazy. And even when you go down there, you talk to them, they look at you like a lump on the log. And then when you walk up, they say, okay, vote. Seriously. It's like they take no consideration to what you just said. It's like, well, but did y'all hear me? Because y'all just voted on what I just told y'all that, you know, we were in disagreement with. So it's almost as though they are not even caring. And then Malik said they stole COVID relief money. I mean, y'all, this is crazy. Because the way they move the money. Oh, whoa. I'm just saying. Y'all wonder why I titled the show The State of the City. too much is going on. And so... back to Fitzgerald, $1.5 million? Like, dang, they could have gave the man that money to put in his pocket. What? Mm-hmm. Y'all, okay, for those who don't know, Joel Fitzgerald had made an appointment to meet with the feds, to tell the feds about some alleged corruption going on downtown. Let's just say the time was 3 o'clock in the evening in which he was to leave and go, or the meeting with the feds was like 3 o'clock, let's just say that. I think it was 3 o'clock or something like that. But at 2 o'clock, Bessie Price and David Cook called him into the office and fired him. And so you just really wonder, you know, did the feds tip them off that he was coming for a meeting, or were they listening to his phone calls and heard? I mean, how did they know that, that he was to meet with them? And he was fired, y'all. And I understand they made him an offer. And the offer was take this amount of money and leave and basically, like, don't tell nobody and just, you know, walk away. But he said, I need to talk to my attorney. And I think what I understood happened was they told him, no, you gotta make the deal now. It's like, it's either take it or leave it. And so he left it. And he decided to sue. And so ever since then, he's been in, you know, in court with them. But now we're talking about $1.5 million in just legal fees. And they're not using the city attorney, Jones. They're using outside attorneys to fight this girl. Dunnaby, this is getting crazy. That's a lot of freaking
money. I know.
Money.
It is. It is.
Where's the cap? Where's the cap, though? Do we have a ceiling? Like, we going to hit at some point? Because $1.5 million and you may still lose and then have to pay him some more money. That's crazy.
Whoa.
I can think of plenty of something to do with that money. I mean, we can be a homeless shelter, citywide homeless shelter. We can put put better service for our youth. Build a new recreation center, one in Holland Hill. Yeah, I mean, there's so much we can do with that money. Why are we wasting that type of money? I just don't know.
It's kind of like when I got your wallet and not my wallet. So if we're going out and we're spending out of your wallet, I really don't care. But if it's my wallet, then I would care.
But I care.
It's the taxpayer's money, so it's not their wallet. That's
right.
Crazy.
That is.
So at what point do we say enough is enough?
It should have been enough.
Y'all, listen. I spoke at council when it hit the 750 mark. I said I spoke at council and said, how much money are we going to spend to fight this man? And that was supposed to be good through the end of the summer last year. And so now we're up to another, wow. Y'all, we're getting duped on this one. We're getting duped. Yeah. Because, see, they don't care. But, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, so.
Aaron, you're definitely going to have to set up an interview with him. Set up an interview with him to find out what's going on with that.
Chief Fitzgerald, we hear you keep up with what's going on in Fort Worth. So, sir, if you're listening, we would love an interview to find exactly what's going on with your lawsuit and any of that, because this is crazy. I mean, you know, first of all, I think Fort Worth has a knack for keeping you tied up in court a long time from what I hear, so that the other person, the other side, goes broke, and so therefore the city wins. And that's dirty politics, because Fort Worth, let's talk about the CCPD money. Fort Worth is just throwing money at undeserving people, giving them CCPD.
Mm-hmm.
I guess some people are saying funneling it through the United Way to give to the people. I don't know. I'm going to have to find out and understand that a little better. But that's it. But people who you know you have wronged, such as myself and others, y'all don't want to give them a dime, but y'all will spend it in court. Well, I'm going to be a dual business. I mean, because, no, if that's the only way y'all going to pay me for what y'all did to me, I'm going to court. That's crazy. I mean, they literally are trying to bankrupt him so he quits, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that is crazy money. What could be costing $1.5 million? Think about that. What could possibly cost $1.5 million to fight that man? That's crazy.
You guys?
Y'all, if y'all don't wake up and realize that y'all better start paying attention to the city council meeting, even if you don't go to TV, call in, say something, do something, write, you know, because, I mean, literally, the train has left the track. I mean, if you're paying attention at all, even if you just watch once a month, you know that the description. Okay, somebody's sending me an email or a text. They're saying they got caught doing some illegal deals that Betsy Price's son-in-law has caught up in the youth violence program that was funneled through the United Way. Whoa. You said, whoa. I need some clarity on how the youth violence thing got into the son-in-law thing. I'm not understanding that. Malik, if you could make that a little clearer for me. But y'all got to pay attention. If you just listen to one city council meeting, you will discover you can't even follow what the hell is going on down there, because what happened?
Okay.
You can't even follow because the description is not on the board, nor do they give you the description before the vote. So all you have is an MNC number and then the council vote. So literally, they may be moving billions of dollars that week, and you don't even understand how much money we're talking about, who we're talking about, none of that. because the description is not read. And so you're sitting there, even if you're on, you know, in the building or at home, and you cannot even follow what was said. Okay, he said, you follow this program that befunnel. Okay, what did he say here? You follow this program that befunnel through the United Way, Betsy Price situation was in reference to Fitzgerald. Okay, okay, okay. And then I'm getting another text from, who is that? I think Jasmine is sending me another text. Yeah, so, yeah, listen. Again, I got thrown off by that.
The hottest show on Friday night, child. The hottest show. Fort Worth is definitely listening.
If you want to know what's going on in Fort Worth, here we are. Y'all, that threw me off. Okay, so, okay, if you're watching city council meetings or if you're in the building, you know, they're voting on all these MNC agenda items. And so if you're paying attention, if you're looking at the screen, that's not even what they're talking about. And so if you are someone who gets there early, maybe you'll get a program. So everybody who's seated in the building doesn't even get a program that tells you what the votes are about. So literally there's no transparency or accountability for what they're doing. And so they're up there voting. And let's just say, go back to what I said earlier. If they're not reading their packet, okay, how many times have we been in class with somebody who didn't know what the hell was going on, but they just pretended so they didn't look stupid in front of everybody else? So you got council people who may be lazy and may not be reading the packet. So are they just rubber stamping whatever's going on before them because nobody's even reading the description of what the vote is about? That's very likely, y'all. That's very likely.
And that's very scary, too.
Very scary because we saw that with the vote that Chris did on the Hillside Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
They all unanimously voted on the renaming of a Tatiana Jefferson, the Hillside Community Center being renamed a Tatiana Carr Jefferson Community Center, Hillside, something like that, Community Center. However, then the next thing you know, the next council meeting, they're changing the rules. And they're changing the rules, and they're saying instead of two council members being able to bring something to the floor, it will now require three. And then they said, and when we seat the other two council seats, just pretending 11, they said then it's going to take four votes to bring something to the floor. And Chris Nettles was giving them hell that night. Well, that was because his colleagues on the floor said they did not know that they were voting on a multi-million-dollar deal. They thought they were voting to change some letters on the side of a building. So does that tell you they're rubber stamp? Does that not let you know they're rubber stamping votes down there? And they're probably somewhat confused with the order because even in the booklet, they don't always go in order. And so I'm going to open Adrian's line so he can better explain that. Adrian, as far as those booklets are concerned, they don't always go in the order of the MNCs, right?
No, they follow the order of whatever.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, we
can.
Yes.
Okay. So, no, they follow the order of the MMC, okay, because when they print those handles, print out, they follow the order. The only thing is voting in with one vote, consent items and non-consent items. So no matter how many non-consent items there are, it's no other than you having a concern as a citizen. Yeah, you get to talk on. And, you know, it's only 3 minutes. You sign up for four of them, it's going to be 3 minutes, all of them. So you're supposed to, in 4 minutes, tell a council member why you have issues with, if you have issues with, if just say you had issues with the particular consent items. You're in 3 minutes supposed to tell them why you have issues with those four consent items, which it really don't matter because they're going to vote, you know, they're going to push their crap through anyway. So They go in order. They just it's just how they vote everything. It's just how they vote everything in with one vote and no discussion. And you had said the comment that they may now let me see. How did you say about them moving money? It's possible that they might be moving money, like, you know, millions of dollars, whatever. No, they are.
Yeah.
We're gonna go on the record and say that. Oh. Not taking it. I want you to know that they are moving millions upon dollars without consideration of the taxpayer in the city. Now, as far as those, listen to you all. They had the budget meeting. They had the budget tour a week ago. I think last week they had the Town to Island tour, where they just go to these various spots that they pick within our district and to have these discussions. But notice, you all, those meetings are only scheduled for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. When we're talking about the budget of the city, how the hell do you think we're going to get all your questions asked in an hour and a half, you know? And then when you go to those meetings, they're moderated, you know? They'll tell you to write your question down, you know? Write your question down. So let's just say hypothetically, 100 people show up. If 100 people got questions, I guarantee you all 100 of those questions, I guarantee all 100 of those individuals' questions will not be answered. So they don't, the smartest people at City Hall, you all, is the city staff. Think about it. The only thing that's changed over the years is the representation, right? But the city staff has been the same city staff, has been the same city staff year in and year out. You know, they're drafting up all of these various business matters as it relates to the city. So they are the smartest ones in the room. The council, again, they just the face. They just the face. And despite all the degrees amongst themselves, none of them are smarter than a fifth grader. I've got nothing that stands out to me. You know, we got to get where we're failing at as a city because people not being involved. The lack of participation of citizens, you know. People just, I don't know what it is. How can we get people interested in being involved as it relates to the business of the city? I don't know what more I can do. You know, I'll be talking it a lot, but I don't know what more I can do, you know.
Wow. I agree.
Because I've heard being vocal. The clergy is not being vocal, and they go down to these bullcrap meetings and not telling us what's going on. They ain't bringing light to certain things they need to, because everybody just, being honest with you, too many of them folks are self-serving. It ain't about the citizens of Fort Worth. It's how they can rip us off and continue to do what they do until we eliminate those people by voting them out. I mean, we just have to deal with it and put up many roadblocks as we possibly can to let them know, hey, man, this ain't going to go down like this.
I agree. And, you know, I think, Adrian, I disagree with you because I've seen you go to the podium and point at the screen above your head and say, this is not what is this? Because it's not what you were talking about. Like, it's not correct. Haven't you done that?
No, I do that. I don't care. I'm going to have an issue with my phone. Hold on one second.
Because okay. I've seen him and others point at the screen above and say, that's not right.
I do that.
Like,
Carrie, I do that for the, I do that for the people at home watching, and I do that for the gallery. I try to hammer home that message, that importance, because I want to show people that they're not being transparent, you know. So more or less, I'm telling you, I know what I sign up for, you know, this or that, you know, because you got to, like, you know, like you're going to war or whatever. You're preparing yourself. But for transparency of the people who maybe don't know what's going on, I tell them, hey, you know, what? Sometimes I come down and play deaf, dumb, and blind. What am I speaking on? I want the mayor to. I want to try to engage the mayor to tell me, because that's her job to let me know. Not just start my time off, but what am I talking on? What did I sign up for? That's why Bob has issues a lot, because Bob signs up for a lot of stuff, and and like you say, they're not transparency. Transparency is not there no more. We did used to have it to where everything we spoke on was presented in the gallery where people could see it, and then for people who have documentation, they can follow along. But they don't do that, you know.
But I guess I'm confused. If you're going in the order of what's on the program, then how is it that when they call y'all don't know what you're speaking on?
No. It's again, everything is broken up into consent and non-consent items, you know. That's why they get that little, each caller, okay, people who signed up, you consent items, you have 3 minutes. You know how secretary go into that little old spiel mm-hmm. whenever she open up council meeting. So, like I say, the consent items usually are the first items. It's all put it like this. Those consent items, it could be, like I say, it could be 15 of them. I could sign up for 3 of them. I could sign up for 3 of them. They don't put them in order because they just say consent items. They all consent. It's all considered consent. And I only have 3 minutes to speak on whatever – consent items I signed up for. It ain't no particular order because first thing they say, you hear what they say? First mayor up is the consent items, and we have three speakers. I mean, we have three speakers. First speaker is Adrian Smith, followed by Bob Willoughby. I come up there, and I start talking. That's why you know the last council meeting I got trespassed out of. I read those particular consent items. Those items, I read them off. MMC this, MMC that, MMC this. And then I started the process of trying to speak on them and bring the watching and listening public into what I'm trying to have a dialogue with this council as to what's going on with these particular agenda items or why I'm against those particular agenda items, you know. Kerry, a prime example is Thomas Tolakasi. When they started changing the rules, you remember that, and then he signed up for everything, and right. they just kept calling his name. They stopped in transparency. That's what it boils down to. Transparency is no longer of importance with this city. And I want to say as far as them asking for more.
For a city of 1 million people, for those people downtown to change the rules for one man, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. 1 million people in the city, and Thomas Tolakasi aggravates y'all so bad that y'all changed the rules just for one man. That made no sense. And that was a poor example of a good example of poor leadership.
Yeah, a very good example. But the thing about it is, it shows you that they don't even understand the position that they're in. They don't even understand the job. They just in love with being able to be called council mayor, council members or the mayor. You know what I'm saying? They in love with the ideal and the recognition it brings. They're not in love with the work, the actual work, and it takes to actually be effective. You know, and I want to say this. One last thing, as far as this new money that they're asking for, as far as the tax rate, their increase, or whatever they're going to do, ain't nothing they planning on. They going to do it. It's just a cover for all the mess up they've already signed off on. It's to try to make up revenue for all the mess up that they already signed off on.
So the very expensive new city hall. Where they messed up the estimated cost, that kind of thing. Y'all, you know
that's
what?
One,
I'm thinking
that's
about
one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about on Monday night, since they're not transparent, y'all, about what they're doing downtown. I'm thinking about doing a show on Monday nights to go into the Tuesday night agenda night, where breaking down some of the things that are on there. Because they're never going to tell you what the description of these votes are. So we're going to talk about the vote is, and what the vote is about. Because there's some big items coming up on the agendas for the end of this year. And it's votes that people need to know about. And so I'm thinking about on Monday nights coming on Monday nights as well as Friday nights. But on Monday nights, we'll just be talking about the agenda items going into an agenda vote so that people can understand what the heck the votes are going to be about. So when they call them on that Tuesday, you'll know they're talking about a multi-billion-dollar deal with somebody like mm-hmm. an Exxon or something like that on some technology that we may not even need. So that's something that's possibly in the works. I'm still working on the kinks how to spend my time reading up on all of that and how that will play out. But thank you, Adrian, for chiming in tonight. Donnell Ballard, yeah. Final words before we get out of here tonight.
I just want to say I really enjoyed the program tonight. Shout out to Nikki, who is tuning in to us. She says she's really enjoying the show. So keep up the great work. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Donnell.
And thank y'all you for inviting me on.
Oh, listen. Y'all listen, I go over to Dunny B's house and kick up my feet. When I say his house, I mean his radio show, and kick up my feet. And we
yes,
do.
Yes,
you do.
We have a good time.
Yeah, we do the same thing over there. So I had to invite him tonight to be a part of this discussion. Y'all listen, I thank him for stopping by tonight, and I thank you, the listener, for listening. I ask you to tell a friend, tell about five, in fact, about the show, because we break it down on Friday nights like no other talk show in the city. And I ask you also to follow us on Facebook. We're on Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth. That's yeah. Let's Talk Fort Worth on Facebook. It's always popping over there. Y'all listen, we be breaking news all the time. Just FYI, if you don't know.
Yes.
you're missing out if you ain't following us on Facebook. And, you know, y'all, yesterday, I mentioned earlier, marked the first year anniversary of the death of Thomas Torlington Cotton. God, I'm struggling, y'all. And he was a part of the show. He was part of the street team. And we really missed Thomas. And yesterday there was a balloon release at City Hall. And, you know, the environment was so tense because they had undercover officers, like, you know, walking around us as though we were there to bring some harm to City Hall. It was really ridiculous. But we did a balloon release yesterday for him. So tonight we still want to remember him. And he was such a general to those of us that knew him. And he taught us so much about City Hall and the way yes. that we speak at City Hall. So we definitely have not forgotten you, Thomas, and we ask that, you know, you rest in peace because we'll all see each other again one day. So, yeah, we got to get out of here, but keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we tell you exactly what they're doing downtown. All right, y'all, until next Friday night. Good night.